Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero vinyl plank flooring. It provides a genuine weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active households. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
11 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville. We say hello to Willie Donick, who is in Edmonton, north of the border in Alberta. Willie D, what's up?
Hello, guys. Good to talk to you from out here in Western Canada. First stop on a five-game road trip here. It's a nice fall day here. It got down to 28 last night, But it's not bad. It's a good walk-around weather, 50s, 40s. So good start to the trip.
The question on everybody's mind, how is Max? Is he behaving? Is he staying close to you?
Well, I can tell you that as I ended my evening last night after a very good night of watching a little Monday Night Football, we played a little shuffleboard at a place we like to go here. It was a battle. Hal Gill and Chris Mason edged Lindsey Rally and I in the tournament, the shuffleboard. Max was, he's had a great night, but I can't say what happened after I left. So Hal Gill, to control the evening, he and Lindsey.
Oh, good.
Willie. So I have not touched base with Max this morning. So come on for this next hour. Before we go to morning skate, I'm just going to check on Max to make sure that he is up and at him. I did see Hal in the workout room this morning.
Yeah, look, Hal
is still alive.
Hal's a professional.
He's a veteran, right? We expect him to bounce back after a fun night.
Well, we'll try and get an update on that. Okay, so this is what we're discussing right now, Willie, and I'm glad you jumped in at the right time. And I'm just going to set this up with the clip because this is what we had in the last segment. This is in the midst of the Steelers and the Eagles game on Sunday. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, talking about the game, and Tony Romo brings this up.
Well, we were watching Tennessee upset Bama a couple of weeks back, remember?
Oh, epic scene. And that was jumping a little bit early. Quinn.
Neutral zone infraction. Defense, number 98, unabated to the quarterback. 5-yard penalty, still first down.
Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel, remember he was at Central Florida with Scott Frost when they went undefeated, goes over here to Tennessee, brings them back now to prominence. He'll be on the radar for every NFL team after this year. Just throwing that one out there for you.
Okay. Hey, I'm looking at you, and I know you know something, so... Okay.
Just
hold back just a little. First and five. Pickett. He hung in there.
Not saying he's going to go, but I'm just saying they'll be asking if he's wanting to.
There you go. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo talking about Josh Heupel. The NFL teams are going to be calling. Now, I knew this was going to get Derek fired up. He doesn't believe the offense that Josh Heupel currently runs at Tennessee would work in the NFL. So I asked the question, number one, Willie, what do you think about that? And two, is he a good enough coach that he could adapt to the league?
Well, number one, I have no idea what's going on in the mind of Josh Heupel. If I were advising him, I'd take a look at just what happened over in Carolina, right? A guy that had a pretty darn good college offense that was ripping up and down the field, shredding defenses, and failed miserably at the pro level. The other thing I'm always skeptical of when a coach does this is we know how easy it is to gain leverage. And when you're hot, you're hot. You got to take advantage of it. It's a great leverage move by Josh Heupel. If he had anybody in his circle tell Tony Romo to say that, and that helps him, you know, get a better deal at Tennessee, then outstanding. More power to him. I don't see the fit. I don't know about how you guys feel. I think he's a great college coach, and he's just becoming a great college coach. He hasn't done a whole lot yet.
Right.
He's just starting to scratch the surface here. Why change a good thing?
That's kind of how I feel. And, you know, the question would be, does he want to make this jump yet? You know, or does
why?
He want
why would you? You don't even know if you can win at the college level yet. You haven't done anything yet.
Right.
Get some rings.
Now, look,
get some banners.
You win a national championship this year, which they're in a very good position right now to do. Then, okay, you can talk about it. But I think it's way too early in the process. But I also know that Tony Romo knows people, and he's not going to just flippantly throw that out there.
Well,
in the middle of a game.
Well, even if you, I just think it's, I'm like Willie. We don't know what's in the mind of Josh Heupel. He's had some immediate success there in Knoxville. He had some success in Central Florida. We saw what he did in three years. We saw what he did in a 3-year span there. So is the track record long enough for an NFL owner and GM to say he's our guy? Again, if I'm an owner or if I'm a GM and I'm really watching that team, I'm thinking to myself, all right, how many times have we seen where college coaches have come into the NFL and tried to run this air raid or wide open offense, and it's worked, like really, like completely worked? We haven't seen it. Unless Josh Heupel is willing to adapt what he's doing to the NFL, then okay. I'm not saying the man is not a good X's and O's guy, but what I'm saying is that offense that he's running in Tennessee, in Knoxville, that same offense where you put those guys outside the numbers, you stack them, and it doesn't work in the NFL. It just doesn't.
Okay, but here's what happens, though. You know, we brought up Matt Rhule, and Willie brought him up too. I don't think this was Matt Rhule going to Carolina and saying, hey, I want to coach your team.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other way around.
Exactly.
The NFL comes to them. The NFL sees, oh, okay, well, this is working at Tennessee. He's completely rebuilt this program.
Mm-hmm.
He could be good here. The question would be, are the NFL teams going to call, like Romo says they're going to do, and then would he be willing to listen at this point, 2 years into his tenure at Tennessee, that – And in year two, he currently has them top two in the country, potentially number one when the college football playoff rankings come out tonight. And he hasn't won a natty yet. He hasn't even won an SEC championship yet. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't even gotten them to Atlanta yet. He could do that potentially this weekend. I think it's all about what would he want to do at this point in his career.
I think Willie he hit on something. Because you just don't bring that up just out of the blue.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Jim Nance didn't bring it up out of the blue. He wasn't even thinking about it. Somebody that both Heupel and Tony Romo know very well, probably just throw that out there and see what happens.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because nobody else has been saying, nobody else has mentioned this. Why? Because everybody knows that either he needs to do it a few more years at Tennessee, or the offense that he's running, they know it clearly will not work in the NFL unless he's willing to adapt. And then once he adapts, now can he be that coach he was in Knoxville when he was running this wide open, throw it everywhere type of offense?
Right. Well, and here's the other thing, too. I want to see him see this through. You know, whether they – it doesn't matter what they do this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's building something. He's finally got this program back to prominence that people are talking about him again. This is Tennessee football. It feels like 98.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those things. And I would hate to – and I know that's, you know, that's kind of where we are and things now. But I would hate to see him bounce – after one really good year, and then Tennessee's got to go through this all over again. Now, would he leave the program better than he found it? Absolutely, he would. But I
would be stunned. Wouldn't you guys? I'd be absolutely
I'd be stunned. Yeah,
if he took an NFL job,
I would.
I would be blown away. He's not going anywhere. Now,
I think if he wins,
can he use this to leverage? Because he doesn't even have to have an NFL job hanging out there, dangling out there. Because of what he's doing here, he's probably going to get a new deal, get his assistants a good deal. That's how it works in the SEC. They're, you know, to the victors go the spoils. And
well,
then
he already got a contract extension.
It doesn't matter how much you
really
run up the well, they'll do it. I mean, they just keep doing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Did you have one last week? Do you need a new one this week? Let's get you a new one. You won last week? You beat Georgia? Okay, let's get another one. What do you need for your assistant? Do you need something? And then, of course, you lose three in a row. It's like, well, what's the buyout? Maybe we need to buy out the coach. Maybe we need to fire the coordinator. The knee-jerk reaction of SEC powers is crazy, like what we're seeing in Auburn. It's just absolutely crazy. And so I don't blame the coaches for every single time the momentum's going your way, you take advantage and you run up the tab so that you've got a situation in Auburn. If it does go bad, Auburn is paying $54,000 per day to their coaches that they fired. $54,000 per day to their coaches that they fired.
Yeah, and look,
how's that working for them?
There's another SEC school that's going to be paying a ton of money to fire their coach, and I've been pretty consistent in saying this, and everybody says I'm crazy. Jimbo Fisher is the favorite for the next coach to get fired. I'm telling
you.
He's
not
going to
get fired. It's not going to happen.
All right.
I will.
It may not happen this year, really, but if he continues to go the way he's going, considering the top prospects he's got on that roster, like if he loses again next year, like if it ends up being the same thing next year that it is this year, then yeah, that why would you want to hold
on to him? He legally bought a team, and they can't win.
Yeah,
but they're freshmen. They're all.
That's
freshmen.
Why I said. That's why I said next year. If this happens next year, where they're in the same boat, then what do you do as a president? You know, do you or as an athletic director?
Yeah, but Texas A&M, they got people that they cut a check right now.
But Chase, we're talking about it. Tennessee used to set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
They were leading the league. They were leading the country in buyouts and
sure.
paying coaches that they had fired. Auburn, I have to believe, has gone into the lead now. But as much as Auburn's paying $54,000 per day, a couple different coaches are still paying Malzahn, and now they've got to pay Harrison or whatever his name
Carson.
Is. Carson.
Don't even know the man's name.
But think about what Jimbo Fisher would be owed. It is five times that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like it's like 70 million.
It's 84 million, isn't it? Something like that?
Well, I think what's left on it is you could be right. I don't know. I mean, it's
a lot.
Take
a look. It's like four times what the biggest buyouts are right now in the country.
What?
I mean, we're talking about it. I know there's a lot of people that have a lot of money down there, but that would be so far beyond what we've seen before. You got to put that in perspective. And it's their own fault.
Yeah.
They gave him the guaranteed money. That was stupid. That was
dumb.
The dumbest contract of all time for a guy that's a pretty good college coach. It's not the end-all, be-all, as we've seen.
He's not Nick Saban.
Coach. No.
Right, and it's tough to win in this league.
Mm-hmm.
It is brutally tough to win in this league. So to think that they're going to go in there and just start winning because you pay the guy more, it's wrong. It's stupid logic, and everybody falls for it in the league. Just because we're paying our coach this, we should win. That's not how it works.
We will continue to discuss this for sure, but we got to step away. David Poyle, Predators general manager, is in the on-deck circle. He will join us for his weekly visit coming up next. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out with you. And as we do every Tuesday at this time, we say hello to Predators general manager David Poyle. Preds in Edmonton to take on the Oilers. I'll have pregame for you at 7 tonight. Max Herz, Hal Gill on the call at 8. David, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm in Edmonton. No snow yet. So hopefully we can get in and out with a big win tonight without any weather delays. I'm in the building right now. Our team is going to be going on for the morning skate here in about a half an hour.
So before we get into tonight's game, 900 wins for the franchise. You've obviously been a part of every one of those wins. What was that milestone? As you've hit a few milestones here as of late, what was that one like for you, though, as the only general manager this team has ever had?
Well, it's always good to see these bigger numbers come in. It's means you've franchised certain people have been around on for a while, and when you compare it to the number of games you played, it feels like we're having a certain degree of success, you know, overall. But you know, right now, it's everything in the present. To be very honest with you, I mean, our team has not played as well, so it's great news, and I'm proud of that. But you know, right now, I think our focus is on tonight's game.
A scary moment a few weeks or last week. Mark Borowiecki takes an awkward hit into the boards. He's going to be out for a little bit. You've recalled Jordan Gross from Milwaukee, who's on the trip with you. But it's been good to see the pictures of Burrow, that he seems to be okay. He's with his family. But just a scary moment.
It certainly was. And, you know, it appeared to me, and I think to everybody else, that he was basically knocked out right on the hit before he even hit the ice. You know, he's had a little bit of history with some head injury, so we're going to have to be very cautious and careful in terms of how we proceed with him and in terms of his future and getting back into the lineup. But that'll be, you know, certainly a secondary thought right now, because we really need to give this some time and make sure that he's good before he comes back on the ice. But his attitude, as it always is, has been really, really good. He's doing all the things that are necessary, and you know, I got a good vibes here that he'll be coming back based on, you know, how he's feeling. But I think we've got to be realistic, and we've got to be very sure and safe before he comes back.
Predators general manager David Poile is here with us, and we've seen Coach Hines jumble the lineup a little bit, trying to find some consistency, because I know that's what you're looking for out of your team right now. And one thing that we've seen is Cody Glass has been getting some opportunities in the top six after making the team out of training camp. What's been your evaluation of Cody to this point in the season?
A little bit of inconsistency. Probably, you know, bottom line, it's somewhat the same as our team. You were really hoping, you know, when you got that chance to play in the last two games in the top six, that some good things would happen for him and for our team. But, you know, again, honestly, it didn't. It didn't seem like he was quite ready to grasp that role. So, you know, you know, we'll give him more chances at it. He's a good young player. He's got a lot of skill. He's been through a lot, you know, off the ice and injuries. But like everybody else right now, we're just in a little bit of a funk. We're just off a little bit, and he too has got to, you know, show a little bit more at this point in time.
We're talking with Nashville Predators GM David Poile. Congrats, David, on the many, many wins that you've built up. But like you said, you guys are just concentrating right now on the Edmonton Oilers. You guys haven't beat them in a minute. What is it about this team that has been so difficult for you guys?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. This has not been a good matchup for us in the last couple of years. And to me, they are a team that's, if I was, you know, give me five or six teams that had a chance to win the Stanley Cup, this team certainly could be one of them. In my opinion, they have the best player in the league, and Connor McDavid. They probably, you know, you could argue this a little bit, they probably have the best two forwards all on one team with Leon Draisaitl. They have a lot of speed. They score a lot of goals. This is going to be a tough game for us, because as you said, and I'm agreeing with you, we just haven't had the matchup with them in terms of how they play and how we play. So it'll be really interesting to see what it is us, not them, what we change to be able to be successful against them tonight.
David Poile is with us. And David, when we start talking about Connor McDavid, I can remember him coming in just right out of the draft at age 18. And, you know, I remember asking people just how special is this guy? Because people were talking about him. And for those of us maybe in Nashville that don't watch the junior circuit and wouldn't watch him play a whole lot, people were saying, just wait till you see this guy. And he's been everything and more. You've seen all the greats come and go. He hasn't won the whole thing yet. They took a step forward last year. But where does he compare to some of the greats that you've seen in your era?
Well, for sure, I think when it's all said and done, and he's just maybe the middle of his career, he's going to have lots of chances to win. I mean, what separates him now from everybody else is he's just dynamic on every every shift. When he touches the puck, I mean, you, as the opposition, I'm kind of gripping the rails, if you will, like, oh, this could be this could be a dangerous player. I mean, you know, how many players, you know, take you out of your seat? Not too many, but he is one of them, and he is so dynamic. His speed is so, unbelievable. And, you know, again, you go back to past generations, and it's really hard to compare, but there's nobody that could, it was Paul Coffey, maybe a Bobby Orr type of guys, but this guy can skate and he makes a difference. And you just watch the defense around the league, how they would play, I would say, a normal line rush versus how they play him. I mean, you get back on your heels, you get too deep in your end, and he just, by his speed, he just creates a scoring chance. So I would think when it's all said and done, you'd be talking about Connor McDavid as one of the best players ever to play in the National Hockey League.
And I agree with everything you said. You hit the analogy. Is that when he has the puck and he starts making his moves, you just grip that. It's a white-knuckle time for sure when you're trying to defend him. The other thing that I think I've been impressed with, David, as I've watched him, is Connor McDavid seems to also have that drive that the great players have to win. You know, he's got that itch to, he wants to succeed. It's not just enough to be talented. He wants the W's.
Yeah. And he's playing for the Edmonton Oilers. They have a rich history of success and winning cups. Wayne Gretzky obviously played here and he's still affiliated with the club. And I think that Connor and he have a really good relationship. And I think they talk a fair bit and visit a fair bit. And how's that for having a mentor like Wayne Gretzky? So, it just feels like this franchise, and with star players like McDavid and Draisaitl, that they are going to be a tough team to play against all the time.
So, David, one thing that the Oilers do very well, and it seems like every year, is they have a great power play. The Predators' power play was such a weapon last year, and that seems to be the one area that has been the puzzle so far. It just hasn't clicked. And I know it's an ongoing thing to try to figure it out. It's the same players. You know they're capable of better. But what are your thoughts on how to maybe get it in gear?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, we can talk about a lot of things that are wrong with our team or that could be better. But to me, if the power play could play like it did last year, 90% of those other items would actually go away. I mean, the power play is an uplifting, when it's successful, it's very uplifting for your players. It allows your third and fourth line to play a different way. It's a confidence builder, and you know, just as you referred to Edmonton, I mean they got probably the best scoring in the league, and a lot of it comes from their power play. And I'm just repeating again, last year our power play was really good, and it won a lot of games for us. And you know, right now it's been a problem, and it's been a reason why we have been losing games by one goal, is because the power play has not been effective. So we're working on it. I mean, there's been a multitude of meetings and video, and as you said, it's the same players. So they're just if you were to show a film of this year and last year and some of what has happened in the past, is the execution. That's probably my best thing to say, is their execution is just not the same. And you know it's there, and it's got to start producing, because it's going to be hard to win if we don't have, you know, our power play, you know, being, you know, somewhat close to where it was last year.
Final thing for you, David, the defense pairs shuffled. The last time we talked to you, there's been two games. The Predators won one and lost one since they mixed up the defense pairings. Do you like how that looks right now?
Yeah, I do, and the reason I do is it spreads everything out a little bit in terms of matchups, and gives everybody I'd say a better distribution of ice time. And to me, this is three strong pairs versus, you know, maybe two strong pairs and one not quite as strong. And again, when you go to your specialty teams, you can you want to say the penalty killing, and you want McDonough and Ekholm, they can play together. So I like it. I think it's the right thing for us right now. And let's see how they do against the Oilers. Like, for example, the Oilers tonight, if they have the last change, I mean, they get to choose, if you will, who they want to play against, whether it's a line or a defense pairing. And I think we're better set up this way with the three pairs, which I'm saying is more equal.
David Poile, Predators general manager, here with us, joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. David, appreciate it as always. Good luck tonight in Edmonton and the rest of the way in Canada. But tonight. Thanks, Tim. Talk to you in about 30 minutes. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville, Willie Donick in Edmonton. NFL trade deadline today at 3 o'clock Central Time. Monitoring if the Titans are going to do anything, but there is one NFC North team that just made a trade with another NFC North team, and I think it could be pretty significant. The Minnesota Vikings, according to Ian Rapoport, Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, multiple sources, have acquired tight end TJ Hockenson from the Detroit Lions. Minnesota will send a 2023 second-round pick, a 2024 third-round pick to Detroit for Hockenson, and then a 2023 fourth-round pick and a 2024 conditional fourth-round pick. And if you look at some of the moves that the Lions have made as they look towards the future, Field Yates says they now have two firsts, their own and then one from the Rams, their own second, and now a second from the Vikings, giving them a ton of draft capital if they want to wheel and deal to try and get their quarterback of the future. But interesting trade in the NFL, but I love Hockenson. I think he's a heck of a tight end. I think that's a good move for Minnesota.
Yeah, they're looking at the landscape of the NFC, period. I'm surprised they didn't go get another defensive player because their defense isn't the greatest in the world. And the team that they're chasing or want to stay on point with is the Philadelphia Eagles, whose defense is pretty damn good. But they do see the landscape of the NFC. It's Dallas, the Giants, Philadelphia. Obviously Minnesota, Green Bay has no, Green Bay, there's just too much going on in Green Bay, I think, for them to have a chance to win this division, the North. And then, you know, whether it be the Falcons or the Bucks, and then the 49ers or the Seahawks. So they have to, they're thinking, you know, we got to be able to score points, more points, in order to, you know, beat these teams that you know are on the same plane as us, or in Philadelphia's case, record is better than theirs. But then they look at the landscape of the NFL, period. You got to score points, man. You have to in the playoffs. You got to score points. And they're trying to get – they got the best receiver in football right now in Jefferson. They add another tight end. You know, they still got, you know, what's the second receiver? I forget his name.
Adam Thielen.
Yeah, Thielen. They still have Thielen. This offense puts up points, but they know come playoff time or toward the latter part of the season, they're going to have to put up even more points to beat these teams moving forward. So I'm not surprised by the move.
I'm not surprised. It's also interesting, as we discuss the Titans, when the season began, I don't think a lot of people had high expectations of the Vikings. Same thing with the Titans, but you just hit it, Derek. They've got an opportunity, and they want to jump on it. Are you sitting there saying Kirk Cousins could lead us to the Super Bowl? No, he's not. He doesn't have that. But you give him Thielen, Jefferson, and now Hockenson, along with Dalvin Cook. Now you got a chance.
Yeah.
Right. You're gonna turn a decent quarterback into a good quarterback. Maybe if everything falls right, you got a chance. The Buccaneers have got all kinds of problems. Packers got all kinds of problems. You know, the 49ers and the Rams are trying to sort out a whole lot of stuff right now. There's opportunities out there. So, what is it they gave up? A couple of seconds?
No, they gave up a second and a third.
They gave up a second, a third, and then got a fourth and a conditional fourth back.
Okay.
Right. So, do all that. Is that worth taking a shot? Absolutely. So could there be a similar deal for the Titans? I keep asking that in a year where you have an opportunity. You can never guarantee that you have opportunities year in and year out in the NFL, especially if you don't have the franchise quarterback. So when you have Derrick Henry and you have Ryan Tannehill on the backside of his prime, is it worth trading some draft capital for some immediate help? Now, we don't know what Hockenson's going to do. Hockenson was the eighth pick in the draft, and he is not flourish much, but it's been the Lions, right? The Lions can't get it together. But he's a talent. There's no question about it. So how much does that change things for the Vikings? It's a really intriguing deal. I kind of like it, though. Like, based on what the Rams did, I would think more teams might be inclined to try to do something like that.
Well, if they have the personnel like the Rams did, and then they add to that already good personnel, then it's shown that, listen, if we do just enough on defense, if we get a few stops on defense, this offense can carry us. It carried the Rams. And they had to play some tough games, but it carried the Rams. You look at it, Hockenson, he was the number one receiver with the Lions. Now he goes to Minnesota. Why they make a trade within a division, that's crazy to me. But you do it because you figure we're out of it. So we're going to try to create some space so we can go get the guys we want to get in free agency and the guys that we pick in the draft. But this gives, and this is what I mean by trying to keep up with the Eagles or the Bills or the Chiefs. They went out and got, because before Hockenson got there, they only had two legitimate pass catchers, Thielen and Jefferson. They wasn't getting much out of their tight ends. Now you bring a legitimate playmaking tight end who was leading his team in yardage. You bring him on this team. Now you got a triple threat in the passing game. I'm not even talking about Dalvin Cook. Now you got Thielen, Jefferson, and Hockenson.
Mm-hmm.
So they can beat you on different levels now.
Sure. Well, so I'm going to ask this to you guys. You know, Willie, we opened the show talking about should the Titans make a move today, and we've been talking about that. But granted, I think the Vikings overall offensively may be a better team, but the Titans are the number two seed right now, just like the Vikings are. So even though they're in a weak division in the AFC South, the Titans are still in a really good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they consider trying to go for it similar to what Minnesota's doing? And look, I don't think TJ Hockenson is a home run move. I think it's a really good move and is going to make that team better. But that's my question of why aren't we talking more about this with the Titans and John Robinson working the phones, and he very well could be right now. You see the prices out there. I mean, they're giving up a second round pick and a third to get TJ Hockenson. Now they're getting some stuff back, but I think the Titans are in a very similar.
You get 2/4 back.
Yeah, you get 2/4 back. I think the Titans are in a very similar position, being the second seed in the AFC right now. We'll continue that discussion coming up next as the trade deadline is 3 o'clock today, 3 o'clock Central Time. Will the Titans make a move before then? But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. As we mentioned earlier in the hour, Chase will be on the call tonight during our pregame show at 7 o'clock. Max Hurst will be calling the game out here in Edmonton. And the pregame show is brought to you by Lee Company. Lee Company is a great sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. Big game tonight against one of the game's greats, really two of the game's greats, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. Lee Company is also outstanding in all of the services they provide, including the home maintenance plan, yearly checkups, the heating, cooling, plumbing, and electric. You heard David Boyle say the snow is coming in Edmonton, and that is probably true later tonight. Well, when the cold weather hits in Nashville, you got to make sure your heating unit is working properly. Lee Company will be on that for you. In fact, stay ahead of the curve with the home maintenance plan. That's the best way to do it. You're going to save money over the long term doing it. 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000. Or you can go to LeeCompany.com to get all the info. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators hockey.
Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll talk to Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN coming up here in a few minutes. Get his thoughts on the trade deadline. TJ Hockenson being traded from Detroit to Minnesota. That's the big one we've had today. And I'm curious of exactly how many trades will take place on deadline day. I saw this earlier. Adam Schefter put this out. So, since the league pushed the trade deadline to the Tuesday after week 8 in 2012, there have been a lot more a lot more movement within the week of the deadline. So if you go back to last year, there were three trades made on deadline day, five overall for the week. 2020, there were two made on deadline day, but nine in the week of the deadline. In 2019, two on deadline day, eight on the week of. So we've seen a flurry of activity. There's before today, there were five made in deadline week. Now we know Hockenson made today, so you add that to the total. But it does feel like it's been more active than we've seen in the past.
It used to just be an afterthought. Like, yeah, hey, the trade deadline was today? I didn't even realize it. Like, at least there's been enough the last few years that you're paying attention, right? Because there have been a few that have been significant. This TJ Hockenson one, it would have been the absolute headline. It would have been a stunner a few years ago. But back when teams just did not want to do stuff like that. The salary cap stuff was too complicated a lot of times. People just didn't want to give up draft picks. I think now people are a little bit more inclined to go for it. I think they have a better knowledge of how you can manipulate the salary cap a little bit, short-term and long-term, to try to go get guys that can help you right now.
Okay, so if you're the Titans and you're John Robinson, you know you have more than one need. You have receiver, you have offensive line. Those are the two glaring ones. But would you give up draft capital to go for it at this point?
I'd consider it if there's a guy that could help me. If I got a guy that could really help me at one of those two positions you mentioned, Chase, I'm not talking about just anybody. I'm talking about a guy that could really stabilize the wide receiver position or stabilize the left tackle
position. DJ Moore. Would you give up a first-round pick for DJ Moore?
I would, because he's young. You would be able to keep him for a while.
You have another year of control on his current deal, so that would certainly help.
Yeah. Since John Robinson has been the GM of this team, I don't think they've made any splash trades during the season. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think they made any
during
big
the season.
Move during the
they
season.
They traded for the guy. They traded for the kid that's playing for the Texans now, the safety.
Desmond King.
Yeah, Desmond King
was a trade deadline guy 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call that a splash.
Yeah, it's not a splash.
I mean,
that was a
nice pickup, but I'm trying to think of other deals that they made in season. There's been a couple, but.
But they've been really like
you,
backup guys. Like,
yeah,
no,
yeah. Just
not guys.
Players.
Exactly. Not guys that are going to come in and be starters. And basing it on that and that alone, I don't think they do anything significant, because to me, they're not in a position that the Rams were in last year. They're not in a position. I think the Minnesota Vikings are, if we want to say Minnesota's going for it. Now, I don't think they're in a position that Minnesota's in. The position that the Titans are in at this point of time, the only thing helps this team moving forward is guys getting healthy and guys staying healthy. What's going to help this team in the future is their draft picks. So I don't think they want to mortgage their draft picks on trying to get an extra game into the playoffs, possibly. They tried it last year before the season when they went out and got Julio Jones, and they were putting together this sort of, you know, we got this three-headed monster with Julio and AJ and then Derrick Henry in the backfield. Well, that didn't work out because those guys were all injured at different points of the season. So the Titans going for it, they tried that already, and it didn't work. And I think Robinson is the guy that, listen, if it doesn't work, I'm not going back to that well again.
Sure.
Not this year with the team that I have anyway. Now, if this was a team that offensive line was no problem, defense was playing the way they're playing, they got a few playmakers outside, and they needed like one more guy to get them over the hump, then yes, go for it. But I don't think they're in that position, and I don't think they want to mortgage draft picks to try to get an extra game, you know, into the playoffs, if that, even if they get that far in the playoffs.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the difference, though. Julio Jones was a dumb trade, and it didn't work.
Absolutely.
Okay, but the difference would be somebody like DJ Moore – is a younger player who you have a year left on the deal. So you're basically taking your first round pick and you're saying, that's my first round pick this year, is a guy that you know is a good receiver in this league. Whereas when you made the deal for Julio, he was hurt, and you knew he was hurt, and you knew that it was a risk, mm-hmm. and you gambled anyway. So I think there is a difference. And if I'm John Robinson, I don't necessarily let a failed attempt at an aged Julio mm-hmm. Jones sway me from going after a younger receiver. Another guy in Detroit, the rumor is Detroit's dealing. Detroit's like, hey, we're selling. Amon-Ra St. Brown is another guy that's out there,
but
and I like him. Yeah, but okay, well, to what extent? Is he somebody that he's going to come back and can help you now?
He's not going to be able to. Here's the thing. Because if you do bring in more, say you bring in more, you got him for an extra year, you're going to have to pay this man upwards of $20-something million. You're going to be back in the same situation you were in when you didn't want to play A.J. Brown. The Titans don't value a receiver at that amount of money. Not that they don't value the position, but it's not at that amount of money, you know? And who's to say he's going to want to be here? I think I said this even before the A.J. Brown trade. And correct me if I'm wrong. I said A.J. is looking around the league right now, and he's seeing all his buddies catch all these passes and getting all these yards and all these touchdowns. Don't you think he want to be in an offense that caters toward that? He's not going to get it here. He's not going to get the numbers that he's capable of getting here in Nashville. Never. No one ever. From me till AJ, no one's ever gotten those numbers or had an ability to get those numbers because of the type of offense the Titans run. What they're built on, running a football and playing hard-nosed defense. Who's to say Moore is not going to look at it and say, you know, I see why AJ possibly didn't want to be here. It's a good team, but I'm just going to – there's no guarantee I'm going to win a Super Bowl. I'm just going to just sort of slowly wither away in this offense.
Because but is he it's not withering away in Carolina? Wouldn't you want to get out of Carolina and go to a team that's been winning games?
I understand that. Listen – winning and making money are totally two different things when it comes to players. Yes, they love to win, but they want to make that money too, okay? Especially if they have not gotten that big contract.
But he's got it, though.
Moore?
DJ Moore, he's got a pretty good contract.
But it's not the big contract. He's still working off his rookie deal, I believe, isn't he?
I don't think so. I think he's got a
second
deal.
Or did they extend it?
Check that.
Oh. DJ Moore.
DJ Moore.
Did they extend his contract?
Yeah. Let me see what the cap hit would be.
I think he signed a second deal, if I remember correctly. Check that, Chase.
I know Elijah Moore. No, not Elijah Moore, but Brandon Cooks did.
Yes.
He would be on the hook for $18
million. DJ Moore, is next year the cap hit would be $25 million for him.
They're not getting him. They're not getting him because their opportunity to restructure a contract passed. They're not getting him. It's not going to happen. They're not going to pay him $25 million.
Yeah, but there's an out after next year.
Well, why get him? If there's an out next year, why get him?
But I mean, you have the option then.
But he's going to want more than $25 million. If he's getting $25 million and he continues to play well, which I think the kid will, don't you think he's going to want more than $25 million?
But you got to pay guys who are good. If he's moving the needle,
AJ was good, and they didn't want to pay AJ Brown. I know
Willie.
Willie, how long have you been here in Nashville? Since the team was here, right?
The Titans have been here.
Have they ever paid a wide receiver that much money? No. Even if you say, well, guys wasn't making that much money back then, and you were right. But were they paying wide receivers top 5 money?
But they haven't had very many of them.
They've had enough that they should have paid them, but they haven't, and they will not. They're going to pay Jeffrey Simmons. They'll pay DeNico Autry. They'll pay Tier Tart. They will pay Harold Landry. They will pay Kevin Byard. They'll pay the left tackle. the running back, but they're not giving the receiver that amount of money.
You know what I love about this conversation?
What?
You're still pissed off about it.
Exactly.
Like, you are still, like, I hear this, like, you are still pissed off.
Because they've had their opportunities to keep guys and pay guys, and they've chosen not to. And then we always end up right back where we started. They need a wide receiver, and they need to keep him, but they always manage not to keep him, whether the wide receiver leaves in free agency, or they cut him, or they trade him. Is that the Titans' history?
Yes.
Okay, then.
You're not wrong.
I'm just going by the history, Willie.
Learn from mistakes.
I understand, but they've had 20 years of this.
I know. You're right. I can't argue with that. There's no question about it. But I'm saying that they're now sitting there. What if we had A.J. Brown?
Mm-hmm.
That has to be a question that they're asking. And now we traded A.J. Brown. Nothing we can do about that. But what if we had an extra wide receiver that's good? The other thing we don't know is that we haven't heard a peep about, is Treylon Burks on the verge of coming back anytime soon? What do they think? I can't count on them right now.
Yeah.
Right now, they cannot win playoff games with this wide receiver group as it is. Unless they think Treylon Burks by the end of the season and maybe a little bit of Kyle Phillips can make a big difference down the road. That's a lot of hoping. I'd love to have a different guy there. And the same dilemma is at left tackle. God forbid, what happens if Daly gets hurt? They're so thin in depth. I mean, they need some help. But they have an opportunity to get to the playoffs and do something. In 3 years, you can't guarantee with Derrick Henry 3 years older and probably a different quarterback, you don't know where you're going to be. So I think there's an argument for trying to win when you have a chance, even if you're not the favorite, even though if you're sitting there going, hey, the Bills are stacked, you still have a chance.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. But first, Willie, I know you got to go to Morning Skate. Tell us about QC Kinetics.
Okay, let's talk QC Kinetics. People in Middle Tennessee getting real lasting relief from joint pain thanks to QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. So it's an advanced science that uses healing properties from your own body, and these healing agents are concentrated then put in your aching joint. The tissue in your joint can be repaired, stored, and that gives you the pain-free movement you're looking for. So you're back on the golf course. You're back on the road jogging. You're doing what you love to do. And this is with no drugs, no steroids, no downtime, and best of all, no surgery. So if you've had pain from arthritis or injury, check this out. This could be exactly what you're looking for. QC Kinetics, free consultation, clinics in Nashville, Clarksville, and Murfreesboro. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.